delivery, elevates the cross, Bain is there! Hawksby's got a hat-trick. It's a first-half hat-trick for the young woman from Wollongong.
Sarah's looking to hit, Grant's at the back post, and did he find it beautifully? And what a finish from Ryan Grant off the underside of the crossbar. It's a trademark goal for Sydney's veteran defender.
Finally, Sydney FC adds a second championship in six grand finals, completing a rare double. In fact, not since the trailblazers of the 2009 double-winning Sydney FC women's side, led by Heather Garriock, has the team embraced a double, despite their dominance of the competition. But we did it. They did it. Jada, Charlotte, Kirsty, Nat, Charlie, Sarah, Rachel, Mackenzie, Princess, Courtney, Maddie, Shay, Rolla, Indiana, Deb, Mary, Anna, Abby, Katie, Tegan, Talia, Janaya, Shadeen, Annika, Jasmine, Margot, even Remy Simpson, and Ante Bloody Urich. Etched into the league and Sky Blue folklore forever and a day, and it is absolutely nothing less than what they deserve. Tonight on Sky Blue Stories, it's party time as we celebrate our incredible women and look to the first ever A-League Men's Sydney Derby final. Sean, have you come down from your high just yet?
Should have been 5 or 6 nil personally, Jonathan, but you know.
Stop it. Put your shirt back on. Put your shirt back on. It's a good night. I'm still happy. I haven't stopped smiling since Sunday afternoon.
Nine-point weekend, Jonathan.
It was a clean
sheet weekend too.
It was. You know what? Until I actually looked at our
run sheet, sheets.
I didn't realize. Yeah.
The McLean sheets.
The Charlotte McLean sheets. Absolutely buzzing. Absolutely buzzing. I've listened to a couple of the other pods out at the moment reviewing the grand final. Can't wait to do our very own. Like I said, despite the very obvious cold that I have at the moment, listening to my own voice here, what a weekend.
It's been a brilliant weekend to be, a Sky Blue fan, Sky Blue supporter from the young fellas on Friday night, and then the fellas on Saturday arvo, and of course the piece de la resistance of the girls hammering away to Western United, taking the double. A-League W Women's Champions.
That must be a first. We've done Friday, Saturday, Sunday, winning as well. Rowdy, check.
Winning.
Hashtag winning. Hopefully Jules is winning as well. He's off coaching a cup game tonight, so can't be with us.
Yeah, the Cotton Cup. I don't know if that competition would do well in America.
You don't think?
You know what I'm saying?
I think I know what you're referring to.
Cotton Cup. Maybe in the South. Anyway.
Let's hope Quakers Hill Junior Soccer Club are doing well tonight. So it's just the two of us.
Just the two of us. Yeah. Quality over quantity, Jonathan.
Absolutely. So why don't we whip through around the ground so we can talk about our marvelous girls in blue.
Grounds. Well, on the back of a brilliant win in the grand final on Sunday, Jonathan, no less than six, technically, have made it into the PFA team of the season. Voted by the players themselves, Courtney, Sarah, Macca, Charlotte, Nat, and Jada too. I've chucked
every line. The lineup.
Yeah, the formation. That's the lines that we're referring to. You could honestly just pick any name out of that starting 11 and some of even the extended bench as well to make that PFA team of the season. And there's no question that Courtney, you know, was it 7 goals, I think, this season? But she also added quite a few assists to her bag of tricks to her repertoire as well. You know, Sarah Hunter and Maka were just, you know, the little puppet masters in the center of midfield there. Charlotte, I think, was probably the unsung heroine, finally, you know, getting some recognition.
Not on this podcast.
Not on this podcast. We, you know, even though apparently I left her out of the starting lineup with our season, apparently, I don't know. Gave her fuel to you know, shove it in my face. But yeah, do we not have the two best centre backs? And would they either one of them be out of place in a Matilda's lineup?
Not at all.
No. Well,
not at all.
I think that's a pretty good segue for me, Jonathan, if I do say so myself.
Speaking of Matildas.
So these girls, most of them have also got recognition in the under-23s Matildas train-on squad. Charlotte, Charlie, Mackenzie, Kirsty, Sarah, and Princess. So as a great kind of precursor to get the girls, you know, experience and opportunity leading into senior Matildas football. Mm. Who knows, some of these girls might get an opportunity come October.
It gets them noticed. There's no actual games scheduled because it's obviously not an international break, but certainly gets them in front of the right people, particularly for those like Charlotte McLean, who wouldn't have been in too many underage national camps before. Yeah.
Kirsty has been, and Sarah, of course, Princess.
Kirsty has been, yeah. I mean, obviously Princess and Mackenzie and Charlie have all senior caps. So I was surprised. I actually was a bit – I had to confer with the experts, MMTV, today, because Mackenzie's actually already 23. So it's 23 years old and under. Same with Charlotte McLean. So they're both just turned 23 in the last couple of months. So they obviously still qualify for this particular camp in that. But yeah, great to see, and definitely you know, worthy recognition. Surprised there might not be a couple of more names in there, to be honest.
Well, congrats to those two sets of six names in both the PFA team of the season and with the Matildas train on squad. But I'm going to have to, you know, drop the tone.
Ooh.
And
negativity.
Be ready for some expletives and a lot of vitriol from Sean. Where do I start with this? Like, I was genuinely, and still am, I probably feel angrier with this than I do the APL's decision with three grand.
That's outrageous. That's outrageous.
I'm not even joking. After what has been a mediocre season, not in terms of the girls and not in terms of the young fellas either, although it's, you know, perked up a bit this weekend's semi-final qualifying game, whatever you want to call it, finals game. I know I'm no kit nerd, no great connoisseur of vintage jerseys and jerseys in general, but I'm so fucking disappointed, Jonathan, that we have the shit that is Under Armour for three more fucking seasons. When the Midnight Plum, which I wear, is quite a nice top.
If you're no connoisseur, Sean, you shouldn't feel so impassioned about
the fuck up. I want to be able to purchase a jersey at the start of each season, and that be my attire for the next, you know, six.
Well, there's nothing stopping you from.
But come on, Jonathan, you got to admit, Under Armour has been the worst kit sponsor.
It's very disappointing. Very disappointing. I think ever since the first season was done, and since we had that repeat season with the jerseys, I think everyone's gone, how long was this deal again, and can we get a different supplier? Yeah. There are very few, very, very few, at least the people we don't, we associate with, people that have sort of said, oh, I love Under Armour. I hope they're a stick around forever.
No, I've never heard anyone say that. They're either like, it's shit, or like, eh, it's all right.
Yeah. So my big thing is, we're a premier club. We should have a premier kit supplier. and the premier kit suppliers for mine are Adidas and Nike. It's disappointing news. But
Nike kits, and they're very nice. The Adidas kits are gorgeous. You look at the World Cup ones, you look at the MLS Adidas.
The last time they had us, I mean, they were all time. People
still wearing that Adidas kit, those kits.
Yeah, disappointing. So look, I'm probably not going to lose sleep over it. It's a shame Jules wasn't here. I think he shares your sentiments a little, but he is a bit more of a hashtag Auskit nerd, like our friend Adrian, and I think he does enjoy the Sydney sunsets a bit more than you.
Yes, please, no more tiles, no more geometric patterns
or weather related
or weather phenomenon. Like, I don't want to
see the Bureau of Meteorology
sunrises or bloody hail or you know, Sydney buildings or things like that. I don't want to see an arch design or
we're gonna get an aqua green Sydney Harbour inspired army kit.
So crap. yeah, really
that angry. Is that is disappointing. Couple of social posts, Sean, that you've put on the run sheet.
Yeah, look, you know, unless you've been living under a rock, this weekend, I'm surprised, you know, after all the years, and I know the Wanderers have been shit the last half a dozen years and haven't made finals and all that, but that there's never been a semi-final or finals derby game, but it's this weekend. Unfortunately, it's coincided with what transpired over the last handful of months with what the APL did and how they don't care for fans and totally ignored tradition, wanting to make a bullshit tradition to, you know, earn a few bucks or two. But there is no and won't be any Cove or active support this weekend's elimination game against the Wanderers, which is a shame, but I admire and respect what is the premier. I know this is biased, but I think it's true. I do fervently believe it, that, you know, the Cove is the best active support group out of the entire competition.
Clearly.
Yeah, hands down. You know, I might have seen, no, there's really nothing else that comes close.
Well, no, they're also the only original one remaining from inception, which goes to show the professionalism that essentially volunteers have kept up over all these seasons. So I've got a little bit of a statement here, Sean. I'll just read out for all those following along, or if you're not, you can obviously go to any of the Co's social pages to have a look, but I've just been handed a note. Let me just read this. The Cove understands that a lot of people have different feelings towards the boycott action. We would ask as many people as possible that believe in the future of fan advocacy and consultation in this country, avoid going to the game this Saturday. For those who are going, we fully respect your right of choice and would ask with the utmost respect that you vacate the two bays behind the goals. They are bays 104 and 105, so that our message to the game's administrators is not impacted. Your support and help during this time is massively appreciated. This decision was incredibly tough to make. If you want to know more about why we are boycotting, check our Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter pages for all the statements in detail. Ends. So just wanted to read that out for our listeners, just in case for some that aren't on social media or that might not be following along with what's happening in the league. That's an official statement from the Cove supporter group.
Fair enough. So just a reminder, like, I'm going to the game on Saturday. I'm hoping that the boys win. Nothing would bring me more pleasure than beating the Scum at their own home ground, eliminating them from finals in what has been for them, in comparison to previous years, their best season to date. Nothing would, you know, gosh, I'd sleep beautifully that night. But
absolutely,
utmost respect and admiration for the Cove and that supporter base sticking to their principles and wanting to send a message.
Yeah, and on the flip side, I will not be attending partly in support of the Cove and that action. But yeah, I just choose not to. And I think the I'm skipping ahead a little bit to my villains of the week, but it's a very personal decision. It's a very individual decision. And I think the Cove has enunciated it very well in their statement. So good on those guys and girls involved with that. And good on anyone that's heading out to support. Again, like I said, completely everyone's individual prerogative. I hope it's a famous victory for the mighty Sky Blue men. Speaking of social, Sean, we put a couple of posts out, or tweets out, I should say, which is our main social media form. Put out just before the Wellington game a tweet saying that in all likelihood, Steve Corica's Sydney FC will finish fifth, which we did. If Jack Rodwell was fit all season, where would we have finished? I'm interested to hear your thoughts on that one, Shorty.
Oh, I don't like to speculate, but look, I dare say we maybe would have finished maybe a tad higher. Maybe, you know.
Remembering we finished 3 points
off
fourth.
Look, what probably hasn't helped us this season is what have we scored? 1 in 7 pens this season. So maybe it was in part the defense to kick off the season. You know, we had Donks and Gerd and whatnot, Rodwell injured, Wilco injured. That didn't help. But probably it was more of a problem more so down the other end in that we had plenty of possession and field position and dominated games, but we just could not put it in the back of the net, and that's been the case for the last two seasons. So, look, I think it would have had a bit of an impact. Maybe might have bumped us up to fourth. But
I think most people on the post actually said they still think we would have been fifth, which sort of says to me they weren't too impressed with what Jack's provided the team since coming in. I know the club's been very happy with his performances based on their posts. But we're done through the regular season now. And if we look at his minutes, Sean,
Are you on SFC stats?
I am. Strongly delay.
Best website ever.
The greatest website in not just Sydney FC history, in history, sfcstatistics.com. So Jack has played a total of 678 minutes, 7 starts, 3 bench performances. So it's not a lot of minutes. He's sitting between Aaron Gerd and Paddy Yazbek, funnily enough, from a minutes point of view. Look, I think he's certainly helped in the last few weeks. But at the same time, I think I actually tend to agree with most of our listeners that commented on the post about, I'm not sure it would have improved us a hell of a lot based on other inconsistencies and frailties that we've seen throughout the season. A little bit similar to what you said, Sean. But you know, you can't argue that. I reckon he probably gets us out of a few losses and potentially wins us some draws, or holds onto some leads for us. So I think it's very likely that we, you know, we could have been at least fourth had Jack been fit and firing all season.
We've certainly had, in all due respect to him, better centre backs in years gone past, whether it be Geordie or the like, and Gowser. When I look ahead to next season, to think that, you know, provided he's fit, I imagine he will be, to have a fit Jack Rockwell doesn't fill me with excitement.
We certainly haven't been treated to any consistent football, or his best. So it'll be like a new signing almost, won't it? We won't really know what to expect. We just hope that he plays every week. But anyway, no, I appreciate everyone's interaction on that one. It was interesting to see and to read other people's thoughts.
All right, Jonathan, shall we, just before we finish off with Around the Grounds and get into some reviews, shall we? A little bit of self-deprecating and whatnot and poke fun of how...
So hang on. So I tweeted out personally from my own account last week, I think, possibly the week before. You guys might have commented about it on the post, yeah. On the pod, sorry, last week. So I've got a right of reply, which is nice. But I actually on the weekend had the good fortune of listening back to the podcast or episode of Sky Blue Stories that we did our season predictions, Sean. And what did we learn?
And that we're not very good. I'll mention yours. So you had victory as premiers.
I did.
Yeah. Where do they finish?
I did. 11th.
11th. And
second last, that is.
Yeah. And you had MacArthur as champions.
Well, they can't be champions. So
where do they finish, Jonathan?
12th.
Yeah, Stone Motherless La. So you were way out. And you had us at 6th.
I did. I was pretty close with us.
Yeah, pretty close. Pretty damn close. Myself, I had City as premiers. Smart.
You did, yeah. Well, smart, handsome.
I had victory as champion, so I got that wrong. Nearly. Yeah, don't laugh.
No.
I had us at 7th, which, okay, you know, we two spots above that. But, you know, like, wasn't out of the realm of possibility.
You had us missing finals. God.
Yeah, which missing was finals. Looking likely for a good chunk of this season.
That's true. It's only 3 points decided at all in the end. Or
Julian, victory as premiers and MacArthur as champion.
He actually had the same as me.
And Sydney as 6, so you're both terrible. Most important player, you had Jack Rodwell.
I did. So you asked the question, who would be our most important player? Which I reckon I could argue right now. Maybe he was our most important player, and that's why we finished 5th.
Yeah, you know, 5 undefeated in the last five games. I had AC. I don't think he's had as impactful a season as last season, but
the Argentinian Messi.
Yeah, Jules had Redders.
He did, as the most important. I think that was based off the fact that he thought we would be conceding many shots on target, which in the end, I think he was right.
I think looking back, I reckon our most important has been, I think you could split it almost 50-50, 60-40 if we were to ask a whole bunch of people. It'd be Max or Joe.
It's between them for player of the season for sure.
100%. Most excited to see, you said Mac, and yeah, okay, he's been excited. Yeah. Good chunks of the season, some really nice goals. I said Jaden, but then if only future Sean, present day Sean, could have told past Sean that and reminded him that Corica is allergic to youth players, I would not have said that.
Jaden has played 152 minutes of football this year for the senior team.
And so less than 2 games worth of football.
With 0 starts.
No goals, which I don't blame because he's had fuck all time. And Sega's not too dissimilar. What Jules was most excited player.
Well, Segačić is a curious case. It really is. So Sega's played 444 minutes. With 2 starts, but that's in the A-League men comp. If we go back to the cup, our cup performance, Sean, who can forget Adrian Segačić's performance against the Central Coast Mariners at Leichhardt back in July 22, nearly 12 months ago. He got the start. He was man of the match in the round of 32. We then played in the round of 16, where he was man of the match again. Mm-hmm. We then played a quarterfinal against Oakley Cannons, where he was man of the match again. So Segačić was man of the match for our 3 cup games, the 3 games that meant the most in preseason, whether you call it preseason or not, that's competition proper. Yes, he was called up by the young Socceroos and you know, Ollie Roos at times. But the fact that he's only resulted in the A-League men's competition 444 minutes with 2 starts, I think that says a lot about where we're at and about why we have this reputation for not bringing our own youth through.
I saw a little post in the last handful of days from Adam Peacock you know, in terms of Central Coast. So there's a perfect example of, look, I'll paraphrase, but basically, you know, look what you can do when you give youth an opportunity. And look how well they've done finishing second. A lot of people had them written off before the start of the season. But you can play youth and still perform extremely well in a top-tier competition. You know, you look at players in other parts of the world and other clubs, you know, 15, 16-year-olds are starting their games and things like that. So, you know, our 20-year-olds and 21-year-olds, they're not really and shouldn't be considered young players.
Yep.
But in Australian football, we consider them young players, but it's because they don't get given an opportunity. Sydney FC has probably, dare say, the best academy in the country and produces some of the best young talent. They just don't get enough opportunity on the pitch.
No, they don't. And look, that results in other clubs coming and take, which is going to happen. You know, you look at the other biggest and best academies and clubs in the world in their respective leagues, and that's exactly what happens. If they are the third, fourth, fifth best youth product, usually they'll go somewhere else because they won't be the third, fourth, or fifth. They'll be the best in that academy that they'll go to, right?
So yeah, you look at the Benficas and Ajaxes and stuff like that. They've got some of the best youth academies in the world, and they get pilfered, and that's normal. But at the same time, we don't give some of the other youth an opportunity to blossom in the men's competition.
Yeah, and the way that Australian football's set up, the problem is that we don't always become a selling club because we don't get funds when a Zach Sapsford leaves our NPL and goes to Western Sydney Wanderers. Mm. So there's some several problems there. But anyway, I just thought I would.
But we did get one right, Jonathan.
Our predictions. Oh, we did our predictions. Yeah, yes,
we all said that Alfie would get 10 goals at least.
Bang on.
Woo-hoo.
Bang on. How good. So Jules was very close, actually. He said, I think you and I said Alfie would still be Golden Boot with 10. Jules said, I think Alf will get 10, but he thought Robert Mack would get 11.
Oh.
Robert Mack got 9.
Yeah.
So he was very close. Very close, Jules. But yes, all in all, we are terrible at predictions and should not be listened to ever, really. So I'm removing myself from ever tipping anything ever again.
Well, let's get away from tipping, Jonathan. Let's get into some reviewing. In what was, it was gorgeous what happened on Sunday. And you were there.
I was there.
I watched it from start.
Jules and family were there.
Yeah.
Yes, you were watching nice from home.
Yeah, with a nice
you were Yes.
I was watching. I was had a cup of tea.
You were unwell. You were unwell. Otherwise, you would have been there.
Yeah, and some bickies and some Scotch finger and some butter snaps. Showing my age.
It's getting cooler, Sean. It's getting cooler.
Well, you know you're getting older when at the game. A couple of games ago, I turned to Andrew and I said, "Oh, do you mind if for the next round?" I said, "Do you mind if I get a coffee instead?"
Oh no,
just getting old. Yeah. Anyway, I don't.
Although you did have a very large Saturday night. I understand.
Oh, on Saturday, yeah, the pass curry. I had curry tonight
and afterwards. You even kicked on afterwards. I
hear. Oh yeah, went up to the crowd. Fuck it, rained.
Anyway, A-League Women's Grand Final. Let's talk about
your Uber X home. Anyway, they won 4-0. Haley with a brace, and Nat and Princess got in on the action as well. Nat actually, oh no, Haley opening the account, and Nat said, "I want a piece of that."
Amazing.
And look, I haven't really gone through starting 11s for a while, but no, well, look, the girls were absolutely brilliant. I heard it from Ante in post-match stuff that he knew, he goes, pardon me, this is going to sound egotistical, but he knew that the girls were going to win. He knew there was no way Western United were going to beat them. And that just, when you have a leader like that, of course, like how can you not as a player buy into that and just like suckle at the teat of what Juric is secreting? How visual.
Yeah,
how would you not get pumped up for that?
I'm lactating just thinking about it.
I can see. What else is new? But yeah, the girls were absolutely incredible from start to finish. I knew that if we score first and score early,
yeah,
we've got the game done on one. Not in terms of just finishing 1-0 and defending our backsides off, but I thought if we score one, score early, we can score a few here. They score first. Yeah, of course, it makes it more difficult. And
every chance that doesn't go in or hits the post or goes to the keeper,
it ended up much like 2 weeks ago. But the girls were brilliant. Hats off to them. Loved the celebrations afterwards. What was it like there in the stadium, Mr. Finger?
Emotional, very emotional. Especially after the pretty penalty goal, and the celebrations that ensued after that. Although I still wasn't 100%. Convinced at that stage. There was still about half an hour to go, I think. But the girls knew. They knew that was it. And like you said, Sean, to win championships, you need every player to be absolutely 100% on. And that's exactly what the girls did. I don't remember a player putting a foot wrong.
No,
the whole game. It was just absolute dominance. Western tried very hard, and congratulations to Western United. Very close to, actually getting both trophies in their debut season. But they tried. They tried to get back in. They tried to fight, and they just had nothing. We were absolutely dominant. Supremely physical game. The first half, I thought at one point it was going to be a game of attrition.
People were getting knocked over. Charlie got a whack to the head, both going in for a header. There was a head clash.
Courtney went down a few times.
Yeah, caught at the byline. Got caught.
I think it was Alana Cern, one of the Western players. She went down, with three injuries, I think, during the first half. But they were just putting their bodies on the line. It was a battle. It was such a good contest, despite, with hindsight, a comfortable scoreline. But remember, 2-0 halftime doesn't rule any side out of the game. But just a fantastic experience. 9,500 people. Wonderful to see such a big turnout, despite the freebies and everything else. I actually hope that crowd surpasses the men's crowd for the grand final, because I think there might be a bit more boicotting for that in Sydney, especially if there's no Sydney or New South Wales based teams in the grand final. But that's a chat for another time. So yeah, Sean, absolutely ecstatic that the girls got, as I said in the intro, absolutely nothing less than what they deserved. Particularly some of those girls that have been there and experienced the last three losses in the grand final in Princess, Macca, and our captain, Nat Tobin.
Well, we'll quickly run through the goals.
Yeah, let's do that.
First one, both almost identical to each other, off a McKenzie corner, and just pinpoint picking out Maddie. She just, up there, Kazaley. Wasn't it, Jonathan?
It was rose
above and thumped up there, Haley. Up there, Haley. In there and fight.
Wonderful. That was McKenzie Hawksby corner.
Yeah, she gets the assist, and then a dozen minutes later or so, not too dissimilar, aiming for Haley again, and then just that second ball, lovely work from Tobes from nodding it in.
She had to really...
a bit of distance away,
Yeah, she had to really extend the neck muscles there and nodded it up over the defenders and Hillary Beale, who's going to get the golden glove, I'm sure, possibly even the Julie Dolan medal, up and over and into the net. Amazing. And her reaction was absolutely priceless. I don't think she could quite believe what she'd done in that moment.
Scoring a goal in a grand final, scoring a goal in a grand final on your 100th appearance,
from centre back.
From centre back, as the captain, come on. That's a straight or a royal flush.
They should get one of Jamie Castaneda's photos of that and print it and sell it in one of those memorabilia things.
Look, they did have a little, small little window. Hannah Keane tried. Jard had to pull off a few good saves towards the back end of the first half, but the game kind of evened out a little bit. But, you know, early into the second half, you know, Courtney's chance. The penalty probably shouldn't have been a penalty, if I'm being blunt.
Before we get to that, Sean, you mentioned Jada's saves there. Let's spend a little bit of time on that, because standing just to the side of the cove, there were two in particular in the first half that were absolutely world-class saves. And she had a bit of a fumble early on from a cross. And I thought, oh, she's had the fumbles a little bit the last couple of weeks. But there was one in particular which was reminiscent of the goal scored in the first semi-final against Western United that Hannah Keane actually got past her. And Jada dived full length to her left to knock it to the side. A brilliant save. But the one that stood out for me was the scramble in the box that you've got down there, Sean. There's a scramble in the box. The ball was shot. It was behind her.
Gets a deflection.
It went behind her, and she stuck her right arm out just to get it in the way, and it knocked it into the ground. That save was absolutely superb, and it's probably one of the best saves I've seen live, particularly from behind a goal where I was. It was immense. And to keep it at 2-0 at halftime, we can thank Jada Wyman for that.
Yeah, girls go in at 2-1. Western have a bit more of a sniff. That changes the outlook of the second half.
Penalty. Sorry, Sean.
Great for Princess to get a goal in front of the cove, embracing Michelle. I think she just had eyes for Michelle Morris TV. It wasn't. Was it a pen? I looked at it a dozen times. I'm like,
well,
okay. There's a little bit of a hold of an arm, I guess, but like, eh.
Yeah. So the guys I was sitting next to, we were a little confused because the play had moved on, and we sort of thought, oh, something's happened. Wasn't until the replay that you saw their arms locked and her brought down. But yeah, I can see why it was called a pen, but it was fairly soft.
Yeah. But look, even at that point, there was still 30-odd minutes to go when Princess got that goal. And 30 minutes, you know, that's a good chunk of time. Despite being 3-0 up, and you think, oh, you know, they're home and hosed here. But then Haley, you know, really putting the nail in the coffin. Just that determination to win the ball, muscle plays out of the way, shoots, saves, but then to back up after
We had a few chances to get that fourth and didn't take them.
But and also I love towards the end of the game in the last, I don't know, quarter or so, once you kind of knew, yeah, you know, we're home here, then Ante went, all right, on you go, Roller. Go have a run in a grand final. Indiana, have a run in a grand final. Deborah Ann.
It was good.
Shay jumping on as well. So everyone got a taste of grand final. So that was great. Look, what else do I – what can I say, Jonathan? Double, six grand finals in a row.
Just, I think we can dynasty? Say, I think we can say dynasty, yeah. Yeah. Is that show still going, Sean? You watch daytime TV, Dynasty?
No. I'm still watching Seventh Heaven, still watching.
Oh, okay, nice. Yeah, nice. Yeah. Definite Dynasty. I guess all I wanted to say was thank you to the girls, the team, Ante, Tom Whiteside, the entire team. For giving us that experience as fans. Like I said, what a special day it was. And you know, I don't think a lot of us could have taken another grand final loss well at all. So it's something. There's a quote that I saw recently, Sean, on you know, the great football man that is Marcelo Bielsa.
Oh, yeah. How's he doing these days?
He said he's coaching Uruguay, I think. He says, in the business world, that in business that football has become, fans are the only irreplaceable people, the people who don't ask for anything in return, only emotions. And Sunday was exceptionally emotional for a lot of people. I will admit I was a bit glass-eyed myself. Looking around the cove, there were many similar people going. So a huge thanks to all the girls and the entire organization for giving us those emotions on Sunday. Just a really wonderful experience for all.
Now, there was a bit of talk afterwards, something we can certainly speculate, you know, in the off season, but a bit of talk asking Ante who's likely to go for next season. He said some girls have signed on already. He won't say who, fair enough. Some girls, he said up to five may go. Educated guess, probably one of them's Maddie. I think it might be hard to keep her. Four others. Could be any one of them. So, they're also talented.
Yeah, so there's a few that I know haven't signed. I know that Anna Green most likely will not be back. So Anna actually took a leave of absence from her legal role to participate in the A-League women's season for us this year. So I don't believe Anna will continue to play. Courtney Vine has not re-signed with the club, so I think she might wait and see what happens with the World Cup and see what happens there. Madison Haley's obviously another one. I'm not too certain of who the other ones are. I think one of them might be Rachel Lowe, who had a tremendous game, I must say, on Sunday. So they're the ones that I'm aware of that have not re-signed, and for different reasons there. So it's great to hear that we've signed everyone else. I think I read out something like, you know, 21, 22 names before in the intro, Sean, that were part of the squad. But, you know, it's a huge retention if that's the case, especially with the Central Coast Mariners coming in.
Yeah, look, you know, I can see Rachel maybe going similarly in the way of a Claire Wheeler, very similar players. And maybe some of those five, I automatically just started to think, oh, it's Sarah, it's Macca, it's Charlotte, it's Nat, you know, the main ones. But it could be similar to like last season when the likes of, say, Jess Nash and Carly Johnson moved on. There were those fringe bench, little bit of starts here and there.
Well,
Anna Green or Abby Lemon or something like that might be going, look, you know, I'm on the fringe. I get on the bench sometimes. You know, maybe like a Tegan Collister, you know, they might move on to other things and look for other opportunities. So,
yeah, but the core's definitely there.
Yeah.
Core's definitely there. And it's fantastic. I mean, a big part of Sydney FC's success in the women's are people like Princess Abini. You know, her seventh grand final on the weekend.
She's only 12.
She's 12 years old. She's 12 years old. No, she started training with the senior men's team when she was 12 years old. But a lot of the girls, you know, that we hear now that are 16, 17, they're all the same. Nat Tobin was the same. She came through the New South Wales Institute and was brought across. And with Ante's connections in the game, he's not silly. You know, he's brought across all these young girls that he knows will fit into the system and that will complement the team. So for them to be a part of those festivities on Sunday was great to see. And, you know, it really lays down a marker for them, for the Mary Stanek Floodies, for the Annika Stajic's, Talia Franco, Janaya. You know, it lays it down like this is what success looks like and this is how hard you've got to work to get it. So you know, it's a call out to those girls as well. If you want to be the best and you want to play, you've got to get past players like these girls that are in front of you and they can learn from the best. So a huge part of the success, and you know, long may it continue.
Well, like we opened the pod and, you know, with your social post about Jack Rodwell, what the season could have been if we had him from the start. Wonder what the season could have been if we almost didn't have Nat Tobin.
You know, the last couple of years, yeah, that's right.
You know, going what to could have been? Yeah. But anyway, she certainly would have been there to score a goal in the grand final. But and anyone who says, and fuck them, like anyone who says there's an asterisk because you know it's a United earned the right, but they had to play in Parramatta. I'm like, oh please, it's
don't even pay them any mind.
It's a rectangle field with a goal at each end and a round ball with 11 don't pay them any mind. Times two. Like, please piss off.
No, and we were premiers, so
yeah.
Yep.
Anyway,
I'm happy now. Let's talk about something else good.
What else happened? Oh, well, let's rewind 24 hours before that. We had a 2-0 win thanks to an Alfie goal and a Woody in the second half, a goal that is, getting over the top of fuck, do we play Newcastle? Why have I got Brisbane Roar right?
You're trying to trick me again.
You gotta check my work.
I thought I did.
No, but we beat the Jets. Look, it was a very good win. It was great to continue on our winning ways, continue the momentum, continue the confidence leading into finals. Could it have been more? Yeah, probably could have.
Could have been a lot more, yeah, actually.
Could have been 3-4 or 5-0.
Don't think Newcastle put up, with all due respect, much of a fight.
I didn't see really anything from them. But look, at the end of the day, you can only play what's in front of you. And that's what we've had to do over the last few weeks of Brisbane and who else was shit? Perth. So they'll enjoy the off season wherever they're off to. In the meantime, you know, we had a really good game. I think we started off really well, looked to play forward quite well. Max always looking forward, always very positive on the ball. It was a lovely afternoon. It was good weather, was it? Oh, until it turned wet later on, but a little bit of drizzle during the game. But yeah, good to see Sega get some time out on the field as well.
Yep.
Maybe the only thing to come out of it, Jonathan, and there was a bit of talk leading into the game of like, this game doesn't mean anything in terms of making the six or not making the six, yada yada. Maybe we should just play all the youth boys. So that Lolly did pick up an injury.
Did, and JK did pick up a red card.
Yeah, oh, that too, yes. But what do you make of the Lolly injury? Have you heard anything?
No, I haven't.
Should we be upset that why did we play and why didn't we just keep our best players on the bench?
It was right towards the end as well. It was the 87th or 88th minute or something, and he sort of headed toward the bench and was complaining of hamstring tightness. So similar to Robbie Mack the week before in Adelaide, actually. Who did we beat the week before? Brisbane. So similar wording to what they use with Robbie Mack, and we've been assured that Mack will be back for the semi, as well as Jack Rodwell after he served his time for concussion. Interestingly, that Rodwell played the entire game, but then has to miss a week for concussion. Make of that what you will. But yeah, so hopefully it's just tightness, Sean.
Maybe he's just kind of been a bit of precaution. He knows that he's got to play next week and he could have maybe pushed on for the last half a dozen minutes, but he said, look, I'm feeling something, just take me off. Rub me down over the next week. I could help him out with that. I've got some not good places.
You do. You know the best.
But what do you make of the Kaczowski red card?
I actually didn't know that he was on the yellow. I must have missed that. Going to the bar or something. So when it happened in front of us, I thought it was a straight red. And I was pretty outraged at that decision. But then when I sort of quickly realized it was a second yellow, but it's one of those ones that's hard to argue, but you know, again, how's he supposed to jump? Watching the replay, he has nothing but eyes for the ball. Mm. Absolutely nothing but eyes for the ball. And he won the header, did he not? Like
header, eyes for the ball, the bloke's behind him. And his arms didn't go flailing out.
No, they weren't swinging.
It's just that natural motion. You jump and your arms go a little bit off to your side.
Just a really shit situation. It's an accident. Really shit situation. So he misses his chance, which I believe Jules said in the in our preseason pod that he can't wait for JK to score the winner at Combank in a final.
Who knows? He might have the chance up against what would be City.
Maybe.
Fortnite.
Maybe. So yeah. So thoughts out with JK. Really shit. He was clearly upset with that. So hopefully he's okay. And yeah, it'll mean no game for him on the weekend. Sean, let's just talk about the goals. And then we'll scramble on because we've probably gone over time a little bit with some of our points.
Yeah. Oh, look, it was a nice goal by Alfie. I know you were kind of a few of the fellas there on the game were like, oh, it's a bit of a howler from the keeper. Yeah, to a degree, but it was just nice instinctual from Alfie just to first time shot with what was the outside of the right boot and just kind of aim it towards goal. And, you know, you got to, if you want to win the raffle, you got to buy a ticket, Jonathan, and you certainly did that.
You are right. You are right, my friend. Sejicic with the assist as well. I think Sega was pretty impressive, to be honest. He was involved in a lot. A couple of his crosses probably left a little bit to be desired, but, you know.
Kind of happens when you only get, four?
Yeah, and the decision-making, again, on occasion, not always the best, but, again, he was getting into the positions. He was getting plenty of ball. So I thought Sega actually was probably up there in our top three or four players.
And Max hit the woodwork. He did.
Thunderous shot.
Yeah. I think Alfie hit the woodwork too, not long into the second half. But there was a nice counter attack in the second half in the 63rd minute. Nice bit of movement from Lolly. Plays it over to Pat just a bit inside the 18-yard box and just a nice first-time shot, pass, just sweeping it in towards the far right-hand corner. Nice movement by the Sky Blues and put us two to the good. And even though 2-0 can be a bit of a precarious scoreline, I felt at that stage, you know, signs still to it. But we could have gone one more, but, you know, penalty.
Well, Paddy Wood got his most minutes for a long time and showed his finishing in that goal. Again, it's something that we've always known that he's got is that finishing ability, and it was a lovely finish. And then he earned the pen. Clear pen for you?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I thought so. There was not many arguments from Matty German or anyone in the Jets lineup. So clear pen. Did you say 1 from 7?
I think someone told me that.
1 from 7 and probably 4 or 5 different takers as well now. Pretty terrible, especially if one of the final goes to...
I imagine they'd be practicing that at training at some point. I'm sure Redders has got stuff written around on his water bottle about where to...
Probably goes all the way back to that Central Coast Mariners game I told you about in the round of 32 back in July, because I think we missed a couple there too. I think we remember who was it? Who was it that we relied on to get a pen? Connor O'Toole.
Oh yeah, did
Connor O'Toole? He did. He did.
Where is he? Is he still in our squad?
I thought he went to Western United, but I don't think he's made the pitch. So. Coulda, shoulda, woulda, as usual, Shawnee. Probably could have been, you know, 3, 4, possibly 5, but a good way to round out. 5 undefeated since the Derby demolition. Five undefeated. So 2 draws, Adelaide and Western United, and 3 wins over Brisbane, Perth, and Newcastle Jets. So, yes, 4 of those teams didn't make the finals, but we did. And, so again, I think 5th is about where we've got. I actually did some stats, Sean. We should do our SFCU votes first.
For me, it was 3 for Max, 2 for Sega, and 1 for Jack.
Ooh, nice. To who?
Jack Rodwell. Sorry, he didn't play. Donks. I thought Donks had a
Is that okay? Hang on a second. Say again. So 2-3 to Max.
Max, Sega, Donks.
Nice. I went 2-2-2. Sega, Woody, and Ryan Grant. I thought Ryan Grant had a great game. Let's move on before we talk about the semi-final that's coming up. Let's talk about the NPL boys.
Oh, we spoke them into form, Jules and I. They're like, fuck
Shorty. Ye of little faith, both of you.
Yeah,
both of you.
I caught, like, admittedly, for any of them who watch or listen, I watched the second half because I was like, oh, look, you know.
You were thoroughly disappointed.
Yeah, like I thought, oh, look, RPA will have them. They'll put up a fight, but RPA will get them. And then I turned it on at the second half. I was able to witness Clayton Taylor's goal early in the second half,
mm-hmm.
Which is a lovely finish. Yeah,
Wonderful finish.
Skirting along the edge of the, or near the edge of the 18-yard box. And somebody in the team was ushering for him to play the ball to him, but he then shot back the way he kind of came and beat Ivan the Terrible. but those three other goals, like that was a great goal from Clayton. The Harbus goal was a good goal, you know, square ball across the face and you know, near the six-yard box. But the two from Benny Gibson. Particularly the second of his
two. Didn't he make it look two. Easy?
Like, fuck me dead.
Didn't he make it look easy?
The volley to kind of, like open up his hips and his right foot to use the pace of the ball from the cross to volley it in. And then he said to himself, hold my beer while I chip the keeper from outside the box.
Is he old enough to drink? I don't know.
I'm buying him a case. Ted's.
So Benny Gibson, Ben Gibson, for those that don't know, Ben Gibson was the one that Adam Peacock tipped us into on this podcast.
The Manly boy, isn't
he? The Manly boy at the start of last season. He tipped us into to keep an eye out. And then when Zach Sapsford left halfway through last NPL season, Benny started getting his go and very quickly started, you know, banging in the goals along with Jaden and Segicic last year. So he's coming to the fore. The opportunities that these guys are getting is outrageous, and they're finishing with aplomb. Amazing.
And this is not a game where you had some of the likes of, you know, the Gerds and Segers or Kacharskis or, you know, some of those A-League boys that kind of push in, up and down in between the NPL and the A-League squads. And they've got, like, quite a few, goal scorers at their beginning. You know, if it's not Harbus, it's Gibson. It's not Gibson, it's Taylor. But, of course, you've got the likes of Parsons and the Mitch Glasson that come off the bench.
Lucas Smythe, who
Luca as well.
Played some Australia Cup for us.
Yeah, they're no strangers to goals as well.
Yeah, and Mitch Glasson's the other one who scored a couple of match winners earlier in the season. So they're coming from absolutely all over the park. I actually ran into Adam Pavlicic, at the A-League men's game on the Saturday night. I had a quick chat to him and I said, mate, what happened? He said, oh, we just fucking played well. Like, he said, the boys just killed it. He had a brilliant save himself. I saw in the highlights package too, actually. But astounding. You know, Apia were how many unbeaten, Sean? 12?
That was their first loss of the season.
First loss of the season. I think they're still top.
Yeah, they're one ahead of Rockdale, who we've got this weekend. Marconi and St. George have moved up.
We've moved to fifth. So, yeah, just super impressive. Super impressive stuff from all the boys. And really entertaining. Really entertaining football. So let's see what we can do to Rockdale.
Absolutely. Shall we talk about that, Jonathan?
Yeah.
I might try and get to this because it's literally about a Google Maps reckons 12 minutes, but I reckon I could get there in about 7 or 8.
Nice.
On West Boston.
Don't break any laws.
No. I'll keep the phone. I've learnt my lesson. look, what are we doing? Yeah, Sunday the 7th of May this year at Rockdale Sports Centre, a 3 p.m. kickoff. up against Rochdale, who we've mentioned are playing, who are sitting second at the moment. So another tough look. I'm going to say we're going to lose 3-1.
In the hope that we win?
Let me eat my words, boys. Let me eat my words.
Again.
Yeah.
Again, you'll be too full, Sean. You'll be full from all the words that you're reading. Now, Rochdale, of course, possess the weapon that is the Baker, Alec Uruchevsky.
How do you say it, Jonathan?
Uruchevsky. So, you know, if it's Nathan Paul and Hayden Matthews in defence, or if Gertie gets a run, they'll have their hands full for sure. And Alec can score from left, right, centre, halfway. So it'll be a big challenge for them to keep him at bay. I don't know if our NPL record against Rochdale is fantastic. They have been very, very good the last few years. So I'm going to say that I'm going to keep a little bit of faith. I'm going to say it's going to be a 2-2 draw.
I'm going to say a 3-0 loss.
Oh, I hope you're wrong. You're wrong. I hope you're so wrong, Sean.
Oh, asterisk there. Come on, boys.
So wrong. Let's talk about the upcoming semi-final. A-League Men's, Sydney FC versus Scum, Western Sydney Wanderers, Saturday night at CommBank Stadium. We alluded to some stats earlier, Sean, that I was interested in looking up. They sort of read a bit like a team that finished fifth. So Sydney FC versus top six opposition this year, Sean, we played them 11 times.
Top six, okay.
Which tells me we played the bottom six 15 times. So we had a bit of a favourable draw in terms of that. Three wins, two draws, six losses against top six sides.
Who were the three wins? Beating the Scum in the second derby, City. Yeah.
City and the Mariners. Beat the Mariners 3-2. I think that was also, yeah, that's right. So not a great record. Like I said, it probably speaks a fair bit to a team that finished fifth. But saying that, one of those wins was at the venue against the team that we're playing on Saturday night. The permutations of the last round, I actually really enjoyed the simultaneous kickoffs. We know that they are obviously, you know, last day of the season in other leagues. That's just standard. It was nice to see them toy with that a bit. I think it worked quite well because I think we were all but convinced we were playing Adelaide for the vast majority. And then Marco Tilio did Marco Tilio things. And not only did Lawrence Thomas save a penalty to keep us playing Adelaide, but then Tilio waltzed through many a defender for the second time and made it 3-2 for the Premier's Plate celebrations for the Green Seed Elite down in Melbourne. I think the Wanderers sort of knew, or they're not new, but I don't think they were too worried about the City game. They seemed to be a bit more concerned about not getting bookings so they don't have any suspensions for the week after, obviously not knowing what was happening in the Mariners Adelaide game. But yeah, there was certainly a lot of opportunities for both sides in that City Wanderers game. But we've seen the Wanderers like us in a way. They've hit some form lately. Their 4-0 win over Wellington Phoenix a few weeks ago, I think people are describing as some of the best football we've ever seen in the A-League. They still only finished 3 points ahead of us, guys, just saying. And Wellington have been pretty terrible of late, so got to keep that in mind as well. I don't know how to talk about this game. it's it's going to be very difficult. Like I said, I hope for you and for the club, and for any fan that decides to go, that it's a famous victory away from home in a final. We have played them in a final before, of course, which was a semi-final of an Australia Cup where we demolished them over at Penrith. We were there. It was. Which we demolished them in, largely thanks to Sim De Jong from memory and Trent Bohagia. So I think if you look at the form lines, who we've played, who they've played, how we're playing in general, I think your brain has to sort of say it's probably not going to be a favorable result, but let's hope some of that derby fight comes into it and we can pull a rabbit out of the hat. Sean, what do you think?
Well, with a derby, pardon these cliches, you know, form goes out the window. It wouldn't matter if in a derby, whether it be a semi-final or regular. Yeah, I'd say so, really. And semi-final, it's a new competition. We've seen countless times in other competitions and other sporting codes where, you know, it doesn't, you know, you start a new competition and teams can go on to win it and go bloody close. So, look, on paper or the bookies will have them as favourite, understandably so. Much as it pains me to say it.
I think they'll have them as relatively short price favourites, I think.
You know, they've got some...
They've got a lot to lose. They've got a lot to lose.
The pressure's on them. They're playing at home, 6 years in the wilderness of no finals, up against a team whose form has been mediocre at best this season, with a lot of talk about coach being, you know, fans wanting the coach being moved on and things like that. So, look, if we lose, it'll be disappointing and they'll certainly be happy, but it'll be somewhat expected. So we can
we can
play into our favour and we could just throw caution to the wind.
Yep.
Whereas the pressure's on them. If they lose under those circumstances with the better form and
with the season they've had, they're out.
And in comparison, they're gone.
They're out just as much as we're going to be out. If we
A lot of fans of ours have said, you know, us making finals and finding ourselves in fifth, at one point we thought it was going to be seventh, you know, is a bonus. But they're probably going to make a final.
It's been bemoaned. Like, our season has been absolutely bemoaned and we're 3 points behind them. So that's one thing I think sways it a little in our favour is the fact that the expectation is all on them and, you know, how do they deal with that expectation? They are a different team to previous versions of the Wanderers, mainly because they can't keep a hold of any of their players because they're either shit or they don't want to play for the club. So every year they sign, you know, 11 or 12 players and sort of put their finger in the air and hope for the best that a couple of them are good. Brandon Borrello is a prime example of that, leading from the front. You know, five players that have, you know, the top 10 appearances for the club all time in the starting lineup, like Sydney FC, any day of the week. But I digress. It's going to be tough. I would absolutely love to get a victory, obviously. But particularly in these circumstances where it would be, in my opinion, it would be a little bit of daylight robbery because I just, you know, for all the reasons that we've said throughout the year on the pod, I just feel that they're operating a little bit at a higher level than what we are, as much as I hate to say it. So again, and if the boys can pull something off, it'd be an absolute dream, and I don't think I'd stop smiling no matter what happened for the rest of the final series.
I'd almost be content beating them on the weekend and then, you know, bowing out admirably to City or something like that. But in terms of the lineup though, Jono, we'll expect to see the four. Okay, well, Rodwell, Wilco, and Grant. Now that Caballo is back from injury and, you know, had some minutes towards the end of the game on the weekend, does Stephen play start King
I think,
or start Diego?
I think Joel King's been pretty good the last few weeks. Again, since that derby where he had an absolute shocker.
Terrible.
And then he was sort of forced, Corica was forced to play him because Caballo was injured. But he's been good. He's been good. I haven't heard many complaints.
I'd start King. I think he's been very good the last few weeks. He's been there in finals games before.
Again, I think the key difference, and again, the boys can look to the girls for inspiration once again. Look at that Western United final that the girls played a couple of weeks ago, and again, how we got bashed. Look at the last derby and previous derbies at Combank, where the Wanderers are just up for it. And they put the bit between the teeth. They go in for the challenges. They ride their luck. And they just bash us up and bash us up off the park. But then look at what the girls did to Western on the weekend of the grand final. They were up for the fight. They did not take a backward step. They were in for everything. They were literally, half the team was literally limping at points because of the contact that they were suffering. So if it needs to be a workmanlike performance, fuck beautiful football. Just put in.
It's a game of attrition. Get in there.
Just put in, disrupt them. And, you know, in a way, hope that Borrello has an off night. Starve him of opportunities and service, and you go a long way to winning. It is going to be a massive game. I think it'll be pretty close to a sellout, if not a sellout, despite the protests and everything else, unfortunately. Especially seeing as the RBB are gutless.
Selfish, self-centered. Yeah,
without boycotting. So, yeah, it'll be massive. It'll be massive.
I also ask you, if Lolly is injured to a point where he can't play and like Mac needs a week off, start up front with Mac and Alfie, who would you put on Lolly's place?
I think you've probably got to ask Sigetich to play on the other side.
I would prefer that option.
I think that's what you've got to do. But I know obviously he'll be tempted to put Max up there.
Yes.
And play Paolo in the centre. But I think after the, 70-odd minutes that Sega would have gotten last week, he'll be better for that. He'll be better for the pace of the game. I think
you switch him on the other side. I don't want to change that midfield three. It's a very solid midfield three with AC, Bratz, and Max. Max is at his best when he plays in the middle. And he can express himself a bit more freedom to play forward and have eyes up for the goal rather than, you know, being out on the wing and sometimes often having his back to goal. So,
if anyone's going to score, it's going to be Alfie. He's in very good finishing form. He's in the right spot. He's getting balls and service to the right spot. And he needs one more goal to become Sydney FC's second all-time goal scorer. He's currently level with Bobo on 71 goals, Sean. So one more will take him past Bobo and on the trail of the GOAT.
How do you score prediction, please, Mr. Finger?
I am too happy from Sunday, so I'm going to say that we do a snatch and grab in extra time, 2-1.
2-1. I'll say we'll get it done in 90, but it'll be a 1-0 win.
I love it. I love the positivity.
I'm always positive.
Always. Let's do it. Let's fuck them up. I like it. What else have we got to talk about on this glorious evening, Sean?
Heroes and villains. All right. Let's kick off with some villains first, Jonathan, and get a bit of you haven't been here for a little while. Snakes on a plane, take it away, Samuel L.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane! Everybody strap in! I'm about to open some fucking windows.
Yes. Villain of the week. I touched on it earlier, but my villains of the week are those keyboard warriors, I guess. Is that the term for them these days? People that just casting aspersions and casting their own opinions and belief on others to try and intimidate, bully, harass and force them into another decision. As I said, it's a very personal decision as to whether you attend a finals game this weekend. I very much respect both sides of the argument, but it's very personal. And the only... I'm very pleased with the Cove statement. I think the supporter groups, after their joint statement earlier in the year, need to follow through on that. That's my only caveat to this, and that's why I called out the RBB, like Jules did last week, which I thoroughly enjoyed on his villain of the week. But from an individual point of view, it's a very personal decision, and that is up to each individual and their friends, family, and their group. So just don't call people out. You do what you want to do, and that's it.
You do you, boo. My
reptile wins.
My reptile is, and look, I'm clutching at straws here, Jonathan. Ooh. But you know I can be petty.
You can.
The social media dude for the club.
Leave Robbie alone. God.
I'm sorry.
You're such a prick.
You know, posting about Caballo and his, you know, stats are so impressive ahead of his home return.
Didn't he make the fantasy team of the year or something?
That's my next point. So I've got a lot of go. But 23 appearances. Okay, so he showed up. Okay, great. 2,053 touches, best in the team. Does that mean he's a good player because he touched the ball a lot? Passes, best in the team, crosses 90. How many of them were there effective and led to a goal and a shot on target or let alone an actual goal? Goals, tied best for a defender. That's a low bar. Not bad for a left back. Anyone who's watched our season this year would say Diego has been a flop.
I don't know about anyone.
Most.
Some people have quite liked his output.
Most punters. He's a nice fella. I'm happy with Chorizo in my payout, but
same.
I just don't think that's a post that's necessary that's going to get great engagement. And the next one was this morning, or yesterday, if you're listening to this, is that to make the fantasy team of the season, who gives a fuck about fantasy fucking football? That's nothing to hang your hat on. That's not impressive fantasy football. It's not real. It's a game. It's virtual. It's digital. Come on. There's got to be other things about, whether it be Caceres or Alfie or Lolly or, you know, Maxi to you know, do cartwheels about. Or the NPL boys. Do stats about that. Do stats about the girls. That's fantasy football on a left back who's been disappointing. And that most people would be happy not to see again in our team. I know that's blunt and harsh, but come on, come on, guys, do better.
I'm pretty disappointed Jules isn't here to do our fantasy wrap, which we haven't done for a while. But I would have been interested to see if Caballo was in anyone's side.
Yeah,
but
to be rowdy as
anyway. Stats.
So that's my.
That's your reptile. Your reptile.
Come on, better engagement. okay, let's kick off with a bit of hero for you, Jonathan, with a bit of analytique. I can be your hero,
baby. Pretty easy one this week. And again, I've sort of already lent into it earlier. Just the Sydney FC women's team. All of them. I mentioned them all by name, and I did that on purpose because everyone was a part of it. Whether you're Annika Stajic that played 1 minute of football, or whether you're, Jada Wyman, Charlotte McLean, one of the superstars, Courtney Vine, Mackenzie Hawksby, etc. They all contributed to what has been an extremely joyous occasion on the weekend. So my thanks to all of them, and on behalf of other Sydney FC fans, thank you for doing what you do, doing it so fucking well. And let's get ready for the 23-24 double defense.
Mm. Look, bit of Bonnie now for me. I'm going to start off with an honorable mention. And thanks for Nick Rojas for putting this on Twitter. And I did it straight away when I read it. He said, do yourself a favor and type Sydney FC women on Google. And
he stole that from someone else, by the way.
Did he? Okay. He maybe you reference that, Nicholas, with APA style referencing. Naughty boy. But, you know, straight away I went to Google and typed it in, and the little fireworks went off. And I thought that was kind of pretty cool. That was pretty cool.
I saw someone else tweet the same thing.
Yeah. But no, my heroes of the week are the NPL boys, yeah, for beating the might that is Apia, Leichhardt. And not just, well, look, a 2-1 or a 1-0 win would have been amazing too, but 4-0 and 4 bangers, like really elite goals.
Do you know what I enjoyed, Sean, about that is that I checked some of the Apia posts afterwards on Facebook and Insta and stuff, and all the Apia fans are like, oh, yeah, that's okay, like, you know, you get these games every now and then, like, you know, 1 out of 12, blah, blah. Like, they were all just saying, like, they weren't saying, oh, it was bullshit or we played terrible or whatever. They were just like, oh, yeah, you know, you get those games every now and then. Like, it was great. Basically means that they were just torn apart by a better team. It's fantastic.
And look, if you get the chance, jump onto the Football New South Wales YouTube channel and watch the highlights. Like, it's 90%. One-way traffic, Sydney FC, a couple of Pavlicic's saves. But other than that, the guys were just insane. I want to see the Clayton Taylors and Oscar Priestmans and the like next season.
I'm very worried about some of these players.
Which clubs I'll end up at, Jesus.
Yeah.
Canberra United. Yeah. They're our heroes and villains of the past 7-odd days, Jonathan.
They are. We've got through a lot tonight. Hasn't been you and I for a while. So, but I think the girls deserve the extra time and attention on tonight's episode. And let's hope we're back next week with more positive vibes, Sean, on the back of a victory in the semi-final. I don't know what else to say.
Respectfully, we're not ready to just become an NPL Sydney FC podcast just yet. So, boys,
almost though,
as brilliant as they are, fellas, yeah, go to the shithole, go to Combank and fucking get the win. Just be hilarious.
Like, just so we can do a couple more pods.
Just for lols. Like, just for the lols. So sweet. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So we will we'll continue, obviously, to pod whilst the Sydney FC men are still alive, which could be next week's the last one for a little while, but we will see. We will see. Sean, as always, thank you for your company, your leadership, and your passion and positivity. And once again, for the very last time this season, to the A-League Women's team, thank you, thank you, thank you, and congratulations to all involved. We will talk to everyone on Sky Blue Stories next week.